Hello, everybody.
Hi, this is Chrissy.
This is Casey.
And we are the 2C's podcast. And if we sound a little tired, it's because we recorded 5 times already.
And hopefully this works.
Or the fifth time's going to be the charm. I feel it.
Yep. So, as I've said it the last 4 times, would you like to say...
No, you go ahead. I'll probably screw it up. So, go ahead. I'll say welcome to the new listeners.
Yes, from Chicago, Illinois, Modesto, California, Omega, Georgia, Saskatchewan, Canada. Yes, I said it right this time. And Austria.
And it doesn't tell us where in Austria you are. It just says that there's not enough information yet. So,
but we want to welcome all of you.
Yes, welcome.
And I was waving towards the phone like you can see
can
me.
You see her? we're so special today.
Okay.
So, first, before we begin, we'll just say that we bought a new microphone to help with, what do you call it?
Sound.
Like, sound and stuff, and just to make it so we're more professional, I guess.
It's true.
But it, like, stopped recording after, like, 5 minutes every single time for, like, 4 times. Because this is the 5th time, obviously, or... I don't even know how many times.
How many times either.
It just was a lot. It felt like a lot. I feel like we've already been recording for an hour.
Uh-huh. It's been a half hour almost.
It's just crazy.
So, anyways, I'm sorry if this feels rushed, at least the first part, because I've already recorded it 4 times. So, and I have also gotten to parts of it that I'm not going to explain anymore because...
Oh, yeah, just explain it. But don't be like I've explained the 3 times before.
It's just, true. Just know that I've already done it.
Just explain it. It's fine.
Okay. So this week we did Unsolved Mystery episodes.
Yes. Off of the TV show Unsolved Mysteries.
Yes. And my Unsolved Mystery is Kurt Sova. So...
And Casey did hers from the original OG show.
I did.
And the reason we're laughing is because to me it just made no sense. I was like, why are you calling it the original OG? I just didn't get it. It still doesn't really make sense to me, but whatever.
But I called it the OG. Original gangster would be... what OG stands for. I didn't say the original OG.
Well, whatever. The OG. It just didn't really make sense.
But anyways, OG for us older people.
Because she did hers from the original Unsolved Mysteries.
Is original gangster. That's what OG stands for.
It still makes no sense.
It made sense to me.
It's okay.
But they do use it a lot in the original the original Housewives. Whatever. I'm done. That's it. Kevin Sova is getting... Sova is getting a story, and then I'm done. I'm not speaking anymore
tonight.
Well,
his name's not Kevin either.
Oh my god, it's Kurt Sova. Oh my god.
This poor guy.
Oh my god. I'm such a horrible person. Kurt Sova, I am so sorry. I am so sorry to your family and your friends. So... this is where we're going. So, Kurt Sova, he was from Newburgh Heights, Ohio. I'm not laughing because of what happened to Kurt Sova. I'm laughing because of the fact that I called him Kevin. Because
we're idiots.
And we've already done this 4 times. Right. So, okay. So, October 23rd, 1981, he left his house. And October 28th, which is 5 days later, he was found. So, the...
oh, you weren't going to do that.
I wasn't going to. No, because okay. I feel like that's been... We've been there and done that.
4 times?
Yes.
Okay.
So the case first aired on November 23rd of 1988. I will say this. Please watch the original Unsolved Mysteries because the fashion and the hairstyles are amazing.
Well, even the way they talk back then, too. Yes. Not the same as it is now.
No. But amazing. And Robert Stack is amazing.
Oh, yes.
So, Kurt lived with his parents. He was the youngest of 4 sons, and he was very close to his parents. His parents have said that he had never been in trouble, And I'm assuming that never been in trouble meant he had never been in trouble with the law. Because we all know that kids get into trouble.
Yeah. So it was just a normal kid.
Yeah. So he left his house the afternoon of October 23rd and met up with a friend a block away from his house. The friend had suggested that they head to a Halloween party at a duplex 2 miles away.
I don't like it when stuff happens on Halloween.
I know.
It's my favorite holiday.
But unfortunately, Kurt never returned home that night. So, by Saturday morning, Kurt's parents were very worried. Kurt's mom, Dorothy, started calling all of his friends while his dad, Ken, searched the neighborhood. And on Sunday, which I'm assuming is 48 hours later, the Sovas registered Kurt as a missing person with the Cleveland police. And I only say that it's 48 hours because that was typically the rule back then.
Like, 48 to...
Yeah. That you had to wait.
72 hours or whatever. Stupid rule.
Yes, it is. So, Dorothy had started placing missing person flyers up of Kurt around the neighborhood. And that afternoon, Dorothy had learned that the teens had headed to a duplex the evening Kurt had disappeared for a Halloween party. So, Dorothy had decided to visit the duplex and speak to the girl named Susan who had hosted the party. Unfortunately, Susan wasn't there, but Dorothy left a message with Susan's babysitter to have her call Dorothy back at the end of the night, or when she got home.
Wait a second.
Yes. I'm assuming Susan has children because the babysitter...
But she had 17-year-olds at her house at a party?
Yeah, see, I don't... It doesn't go into the story.
That's so weird.
I don't know. They said that, and I'll get to this.
I mean, maybe she's young, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's weird.
I just thought it was strange that she had... I didn't think it was strange that she had a babysitter. I'm glad that she did.
No, but I think it's strange that she had, like, 17-year-olds at her house at a party.
Yeah, so and it doesn't say how old Susan is. So yeah. Susan could be a teenager as well and just...
Yeah.
I don't know. So when Susan got home, she called her later, but it said she had never seen Kurt that night, nor did she have a party. But a pizza delivery man had confirmed that there was a party going on. So Dorothy ended up contacting Susan again. And at this time, she admitted there was a party, and yes, Kurt was there. So it kind of makes me sound that she's either right on the cusp of being 2021-ish and didn't want to get in trouble for having alcohol. Underage drinking. Or she didn't want her parents to find out. But I'm assuming but that the duplex is hers. But if
she has kids, she can get in very big trouble.
Yeah, so I don't know how old Susan was.
That's so odd. It's weird.
So, the party had people from nearby Detroit, and Kurt was one of the youngest there. And also, there were people there that he didn't know.
So, it was probably for older...
I'm assuming that it would be young adults, like 20s.
Yeah, probably.
So,
and they probably just knew someone that was there that was older.
Yeah, and Kurt is 17, I believe, at this time.
Yes, that's what you said.
Okay. So he didn't really know anyone at the party except for the friend that he came with, and I'm assuming Susan. I don't know. I don't like to
just make assumptions.
Well, and I also don't go to parties if I don't know almost everyone there because I don't. Like, so I don't know if he was a really outgoing teenager.
Well, we don't trust people anyways, and I mean, that's...
Yeah, so I mean, I'm assuming that he was, like, a really good kid who, like, was...
Didn't really party or anything.
But also was friendly. Unlike us.
That's so true.
Kurt was good people.
So we're not good people?
We are good people, but Kurt is, like, very good people because he lets strangers into his heart. I have problems with that. Yeah. But anyways, I'm working through it, guys.
No, we're not.
Kind of.
No, we're not.
We started a podcast for people that we
don't. Yeah, but we don't even have to see them. That doesn't count.
Okay, so Kurt had been seen drinking Everclear, and which brought me back to the 90s. Yeah, so,
do they still make that?
I don't know.
I'm gonna look that up. I kind of want to buy some, just to have, like, a...
Because, you know, back in the day, I didn't drink, so, like, everyone was talking about how Everclear was, like, the most potent thing ever, and I was like, that's nice, whatever.
No, it's not.
No, I don't know. So, it's well, not. No, this is what they said. So, so he had been seen drinking Everclear, which was known to be very strong and illegal in many parts of the U.S.
Seriously?
I guess. Back in 88. Guys, I think I was only 12 in 88, so technically I would not know anything about this. But the news of that had surprised Kurt's friend, since he wasn't known to drink a lot. So Kurt's friend had taken Kurt out later in the evening to get some fresh air and had left him leaning up against a chain link fence. When the friend had returned with Kurt's coat, he had vanished. So it is unknown if he wandered off or was abducted, but his family had feared he had met with foul play. Since Susan had changed her story, or maybe Susan didn't want to get in trouble. So, I don't know exactly.
I would say she didn't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, and I get it. I get it. We've all been 20. We've all, like, well, I'm assuming you're a kid. She's 20.
You do stupid shit.
Assuming she's not in her 30s, because that would be really weird if there was, like, a 17-year-old with a bunch of 30-year-olds. Not weird, like, in, I don't know. I just think it would be different, I guess. I don't know. What do I know? I don't party, guys. So, a record store owner who had a missing person poster
out. So, you can't buy it except for in Nevada and Kentucky.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, next time we drive down to Nevada.
Okay.
Or we go to Vegas.
Yeah.
We can find Everclear. So, a record store owner who had a missing person poster up was told by a stranger that the person might as well take it down. He's going to be found dead in 2 days and nobody's going to know how he died.
What?
Right? I was like, creepy. And that's not in the Unsolved Mysteries show. Because, or maybe it is and I wasn't paying attention. Sorry, Kurt.
No, because mine has stuff that wasn't okay. in it, too. So okay, they probably just didn't have time to put everything in it.
Because I'm pretty sure I would have been like, what the hell? So, also, a schoolmate of Kurt's had seen him 4 days after his disappearance, heading towards a van full of kids not native to the Newburg Heights area. And he had also heard Kurt calling out, "Hey, Franco." Unfortunately, the schoolmate didn't know that Kurt had been missing, so he didn't think anything of it. Susan called Dorothy back, saying Kurt had spent a few nights in her basement and had slept on a cot.
Okay, first of all, before you go on.
Uh-huh.
So, if this is something this kid usually doesn't do, like, never does stuff like this, I don't know if I believe these people. Well, this is just weird.
It is weird. But we're also getting, like, secondhand information. And I don't know, did the police chase down these leads? I don't know.
Well, true. You're hearing it from the...
Yeah, from parents. The family.
Yeah.
So, Dorothy, because of Susan's previous stories, had a hard time believing her. But Ken went to the duplex to investigate, but couldn't find anything linking Kurt to the basement. But Ken did notice a cot that had looked used.
Yeah, but that could have been used before or after. Yeah. So,
6 days after the party, three boys were exploring in a ravine off of Howard Street, 500 yards from the duplex. The boys had found Kurt's body. He was found wearing a bright yellow t-shirt, which had stood out among the backdrop, so the kids had easily seen it. The police could not find any assault on Kurt's body, and he had no injuries except for a few minor scrapes and bruises as a result of being barefoot. So the police could not find his right shoe, but his left shoe was found wedged in a pile of rocks nearby his body. The cause of death could not be determined, and the coroner later concluded he died naturally or accidentally, but his family won't accept this. And unfortunately, I don't know, like, what talk screens they took or whatever, because I would want to know if he was, like,
If he had alcohol in the system,
he could have died of alcohol poisoning.
Well, he also could have gotten lost in the woods because he was drunk and didn't know what was going on and could have just died.
Well, and in October, I'm thinking it's Ohio cold. Is freezing.
Yeah.
So they didn't say anything about...
Yeah, but you would think that they would be able to tell if he died from hypothermia.
So I don't know any of these answers. The autopsy did show that he had been dead for 24 to 36 hours.
Oh, so he was alive when people saw him.
Yep, but he had been missing for 5 days. So Ken...
That's so weird.
Yeah, so Ken claimed he had searched that ravine on Monday and Kurt was not there. So the Sovas believe Kurt's body had been dumped that evening or on Tuesday. And the Sovas believed Kurt had died in the duplex and then was dumped in the ravine. Because if we're thinking about Susan, and Susan said that he was sleeping in a cot in the duplex and it was 500 yards away, I mean, I could see why they would think that. So, unfortunately, some believe that his death may be related to another local boy, 13-year-old Eugene Cavett. He was from the same neighborhood and whom Kurt had been acquainted with. Eugene was also found barefoot in a ravine on Harvard Street, and his right shoe also was never found.
Okay, that is creepy as fuck.
Yeah, I have a little bit more. So, Eugene Cavett's autopsy showed he had died by falling into a ravine, whether he fell or pushed, or was pushed. So similarities are uncanny with Kurt's death. And
that's weird.
That also has never been solved. So suspects. So the authorities would like to identify the man named Franco that Kurt had been hanging out with. This Franco guy could be the guy who had talked to the record store owner, who had predicted when Kurt would be found. I don't know if they did, like, police sketches, and that's how they think this. This is just something that was in there. But, so the record store owner had received a bouquet of flowers, from some person with a note that read, "Roses are red, the sky is blue, they found him dead, and they will find you dead too."
Okay.
So the store owner felt threatened, which totally understand, and reported it to the police. So they arrested and interrogated a suspect, but he was determined to have mental and emotional issues. So he was ruled out as a suspect in Kurt's death. So I don't know.
Is he the one that sent the flowers, though?
I don't know if he gave the bouquet of flowers to her, and that's how they figured out who he was. But I was
so,
like,
weird.
This is very strange. We're going off on a tangent. So I don't know if that's just a red herring or what. Like, I don't know.
Weird.
So the results are, unfortunately, it's still unsolved. Ken passed away in 2001, and Dorothy passed away in 2014. Unfortunately, two of Kurt's brothers have also passed away, which leaves one brother still looking for answers.
That's so sad.
Yeah. So in November of 2019, Newburgh Heights Police Department partnered with Tiffin University to take another look into Kurt's case. So I don't know what those results found. And also in February 2020, Kurt's case was featured in the CrimeCon event CrowdSolve. And this event takes 100 people, they work together, and they re-examine the case and help solve it. and it is not known if any new info was uncovered. But, I mean, I'm sure they've got a lot of, like, because if you think about it, did he die only 24 or 36 hours, or was he dead longer? I mean, I don't know, because if he had died of an accidental, like, if he had died of alcohol poisoning, which, I mean, if they say that he was drinking that much or whatever.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. And kids are stupid, and instead of, like, taking responsibility and being like, oh my gosh, my friend, like, passed out or whatever happened.
And I was wrong, because Everclear is very potent. It's 190 proof.
Oh, Jesus. So,
So if he was drinking a lot of it, then yeah. He could have very well have...
Yeah, so, I mean, did he just wander off? Did he die because of the elements? Did maybe they, in a haste of not... Like, I mean, it could be either or. It just depends on those autopsy results.
Yeah.
Like, was it so cold out that they couldn't get a good reading because his body was frozen? Like, I don't know. So, and like I said, all I have is what I took
from the family.
So, it has almost been 40 years. So, please, if you have any information on either case, contact Newburgh Heights Police Department. Crime Stoppers is offering a $5,000 reward for Kurt Sova's, for information for Kurt Sova. I didn't see anything about Eugene Cavett's, but, I mean, money shouldn't be a motivator. Just your conscience. Or the fact that something pops up and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about this, you know?
Right. Well, and any amount of information, even if you think it doesn't matter, could solve a case.
Yes, could definitely solve a case. So if you have any information, you can contact Crime Stoppers at 216-25 and the word crime. And that's the case of Kurt Sova. So, unfortunately, he only has one brother living, and it would be nice to solve what happened. So, anyways, Chrissy, you're next. Shut up. I can't find.
So, I did mine on the murder of Alonzo Brooks, and my sources are Wikipedia, KansasCityMeg.com, ScreenRat.com, Fox13Memphis.com. So, Alonzo Tyree Brooks was born May 21st, 1980. He was 23 years old when he was killed. His parents are Billy Brooks Sr. and Maria Ramirez, and he's from Gardner, Kansas. His nickname is Zoe, which I think is an awesome nickname.
Yes, it is.
Alonzo was of African American and Mexican descent, so he was, I don't know if he's half and half or whatever, but he was part Mexican and part African American.
So he's got beautiful skin.
Yeah, right? And actually, he's a very good looking guy for, I was going to say 23 years, but I guess it doesn't really matter. He's 23. Whatever.
That's like half our age, so that right, is kind of disgusting. It's just
weird.
But, I mean, we can say people are good looking.
But no, he was a good looking guy. He worked as a custodian for countryside maintenance in Gardner, Kansas when he was murdered. All right, so on the night of April 3rd, before I go on, mine is from the new season of
Unsolved Mysteries.
Thank you, Unsolved Mysteries, not the OG one, just the new one from last year. Last year, did it start?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. But I like this one because they take one case, an episode, and then talk about just that one case instead of, like, two or three an episode, like the previous one. And it's not, there's not anyone
there's not an announcer or host or whatever.
It's just the families and friends and stuff talking instead of somebody narrating it or whatever. So anyways, okay, so on the night of April 3rd, 2004, Alonzo Brooks and three of his friends, Justin Sprague, Daniel Fune, I think is how you say it, and Tyler Brohard, went to a party in Lacine, which is spelled very weird, and I would have never known that's how you pronounce it.
Interesting.
Right?
It's C-Y-G-N-E.
Yeah, but it's pronounced scene, which is very interesting.
I mean, I'm glad they wrote that.
No, I wrote it.
Oh, you wrote it. Oh, yeah, look
I looked
you.
It up because I was like, how am I supposed to pronounce that? I don't know. So I looked it up and it told me how to pronounce it. Now, hopefully, that's actually how you pronounce it. If not, it's not my fault. It's Google's.
Oh, the goob.
which was about 50 miles south of Gardner, where they were from. Alonzo's mother, Maria, remembers asking Alonzo what he was up to that night and him telling her that he was just going to go to a house party with some friends. She says he wasn't the type of person to just go to parties with a lot of people, so she thought it was very weird that he was going to the party.
Peer pressure.
Or
maybe he was bettering himself and getting out there.
Maybe. She said even at family gatherings, he would keep to himself. So, like I said, she was pretty surprised that he wanted to go to a party. But a lot of people from many different towns were at the party, and he knew quite a few people that were there.
Oh, good. Because
a lot of them were from the town Gardner. So Daniel and Tyler arrived at the party in a separate vehicle, and then Alonzo and Justin rode together, and Justin was Alonzo's ride home after the party, when they left the party.
Okay.
So, the house that the party was being thrown at is situated just off the main road and is surrounded by a bunch of open fields and soybean, like, rows of soybean. I don't know if it would be plants or, like, I don't know how soybeans are grown or what they look like. I should have looked that up before I started talking about it and sound like an idiot. I swear we live on
She's not an idiot.
I swear we live
soybeans,
on a farm out soybeans. In the middle of nowhere. But I've never seen soybeans being grown, so I don't.
I would say a patch of soybean plants.
I don't know, because it says open fields and fields filled with soybeans, so I don't know. But anyways, it doesn't really matter.
We'll Google it.
Yeah. I'll post a picture so you can see what it looks like, too. A barbed wire fence surrounded the back of the house, while a creek is about a football field length away from the back of the house. And that is where Alonzo's body would eventually be found.
Is it in the creek?
By
the creek, okay.
Yes. So, while at the party, several people have said that racist comments were said to Alonzo, possibly making things very tense between Alonzo and a few of the people that were at the party. Alonzo was reportedly only one of three people at the party that were African American. Witnesses also told the police that he was being harassed at the party because of his race, obviously, because they were saying racist comments, so I don't know why I stuck that in there twice. That's whatever.
Redundant, but it's fine. Yes. It's fine.
But it was in there.
You wanted to reiterate the fact that where is this located?
Kansas.
So, okay.
And the town that they're in. So, it doesn't really say anything about where they're from, Gardner, but the town that they're in, the Lacine or whatever, is known for being very racist. Yes. I didn't write down the quote, but someone has said that, like, one of the witnesses has said that one of the town's quotes is, if you're black, then don't let the sun hit your back, or something like that, which I don't really understand.
Well, we're not from the South, and we're also not racist,
but, like, I don't. Yeah, I just don't understand being racist.
I don't at either. All.
I don't either. People are people. Who gives a shit what color their skin is? Like, I don't. We're all people.
Right?
We all do the same shit. I just don't. I don't know. I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either.
Anyways, so I need to stop talking about it because the shit pisses me off. And then I could just go off forever.
Okay, we won't go off.
It's better if we
don't.
Let's
talk about Alonzo's
story.
So,
anyways, Tyler and Daniel said that he didn't care what was being said about him. And he was just ignoring the comments. Some witnesses have said that the party included members of the Boone family, which are longtime Lacine elites. Apparently, they're the who's who of Lacine. Whatever.
Okay.
People are just stupid. Whatever. And that Pat, Jerry, and Tiffany Boone were a few of the people that had a problem with Alonzo being at the party.
Well, maybe they should have left the party. Anyways, go ahead.
Right? I just don't... We need to stop talking about it.
Yep.
So anyways, later that evening, Justin, who was Alonzo's ride, left the party to go buy cigarettes, leaving Alonzo at the party by himself with a promise that he would be right back to give him a ride home. Justin never returned to the party. He later told law enforcement officers that he got lost on the gravel back roads, which... In the article said that, like, all the roads look the same.
Oh, I'm sure.
So it would be easy to get lost if you're not from there. So, I mean, there's other stuff that was said, though, later that I'll go over that kind of make it, like, I don't know about
it
that.
It was also dark out, wasn't it?
Yes, because it was the middle of the night. But the weird thing is that they're 50 miles away from any... Like, they're so far away from, like, grocery stores or anything, any kind of store, that it's really weird that he left to go get cigarettes, and then come back. Like, because it was so far away. Like, it didn't really make any sense to some people why he would do that.
Well, that's when you think ahead of time and buy extra packs of cigarettes.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's some other stuff that's said later, too, that you're like, okay, I guess maybe I can... understand. Well, and their kids, they do stupid shit too, so whatever. So anyways, Daniel and Tyler had already left the party, so that meant that Alonzo was stranded at the party with no ride home. He didn't have any way to get home.
And how far away are they from their house?
Like an hour.
This is why I don't.
Well, here's my problem with it. Now, first of all, I would never go to a party unless I had a bunch of people with me that I knew. If I'm going somewhere where I don't know who the people are that are there.
Yes.
Because one, I would never put myself in the situation. And maybe it's different for me because I'm a girl. And it's different for girls than it is for guys. Because we have to be more careful.
Yes. No, I agree.
Then, so from that standpoint, I can understand like, from Alonzo's standpoint of, like, him being with people that are racist or whatever. I mean, I don't understand because I'm white and I have absolutely no idea. But, like, from the standpoint of we need to be careful, more careful than men when we go to a party. Like,
yes.
Like, I would never put myself in that situation.
Well, you would never not have, like, there are people that I will get drunk around. Because I trust them.
Well, if I was at a party with anyone that I didn't know, I would never get drunk.
But, I mean, you grab something, think someone gives you a drink. I don't know. Well, we could debate this all night long.
Well, and I would never take a drink from someone I didn't know anyways either. So, just because you don't know.
You don't know.
Right.
And, but I couldn't imagine going to a party, feeling uncomfortable.
Well, and here's another thing. If you know, like, if you're there with your friends and you know that people are saying stuff to him that is racist,
why the hell would
you ever leave him there by himself?
And, I mean, I can't...
But they're kids, too, and you do stupid shit, and you don't think about it, and if he's drunk...
And unfortunately, that kid's gonna have to think about that for the rest of his life.
Yes. So I mean... you don't know what would happen, and then if you're in the situation either, you don't know what you would do either. It'd be completely
different.
Right. So, I mean, I can't say. Well, I do know that I wouldn't drink if I didn't, if I knew, like, if there were people there that I didn't know, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But I would drink, but I wouldn't get drunk. Like, I would make sure that I.
Yes. I know what you mean.
Yes. So, anyways, okay. So, the next day, when Alonzo's parents saw that he had not returned home, they drove to Lacine with some of, well, Alonzo's brother, older brother, and then a couple of the friends that were, well, one friend was at the party, which is the Justin guy that left him there.
Okay.
And then another friend that wasn't at the party.
Okay.
Went back to where the party was to see if they could find him, if he was still out there, stuff like that. So, when they got to the house, they weren't allowed in the house. They weren't allowed to walk around the property. They did find his hat and his shoes thrown across the street from where the house was. So, it wasn't on the property of where the party was. It was across the street.
Okay.
Okay? And there's two different reports. So, what Unsolved Mysteries said was that the shoes were thrown in two different areas.
Okay.
And then the hat was separate from them as well.
Okay.
And then one of the news articles that wasn't Unsolved Mysteries said that the shoes were together.
Okay.
And that the hat was thrown across. But all of them were across the street.
Okay.
That weren't on the property, but they were, the shoes were, his boots were together and that his hat was thrown somewhere else.
Okay.
But it had looked like somebody had tossed them.
Like, out the car window.
Or what? Or just tossed them across the street or whatever. Like, it didn't look like they were just sitting.
Because like, they were placed there.
Right. They were, like, thrown in two different places. So, Maria and Billy, Senior is Alonzo's dad. So, Maria and Billy, his parents, then contacted the local authorities to report him missing. So they didn't even wait 24 hours. They reported him missing within 24 hours, or before 24 hours. So eventually the Linn County Police Department, which is who first was assigned the case, didn't find anything. They didn't talk to anyone. They didn't supposedly look for anything. Decided that they couldn't do anything with the thing. So then they turned it over to Kansas Bureau of Investigation, which is KBI. After they couldn't locate anything, KBI also was unable to locate Alonzo or anything. And at this time, they weren't allowing them on the property to search for anything.
Even the police?
Yes.
Okay.
So, the parents said that the first police went out and they did search.
Okay.
But when it got turned over to the second police department, they were no longer allowed to search anything. And I don't know how long it was in the first police department before it was turned over to the second police department.
Yeah.
Because they found his body within a month. So it would have been within
weeks,
that month.
Probably.
That they turned it over or whatever. So then when the KBI, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, couldn't find anything, they called in the FBI.
Well, that was smart.
They didn't do anything either, so not really. So Alonzo's family felt like the police weren't doing their job and that they weren't really trying to find their son. So the Brooks family decided to take matters into their own hands. So Billy Brooks Jr., which is Alonzo's older brother, went to Lacine and contacted the people that owned the house that the party was at.
Okay.
Now, the people that own the house don't live in the house. They rent it out.
Got it.
So, some kid rented the house and had the party at that house.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. So, I don't know if they were trying to get, like, permission from that kid.
Oh, to search.
To search, and didn't realize that he wasn't the one that owned the house, or that they were talking to that kid's parents and didn't realize that he didn't own the house or what. But Billy's brother got permission from the people that actually own the house to search the property. Okay?
Okay. Excuse me.
So, him and his family, and then some of their friends, ran their own search from that property or whatever, and then, which was on May 1st. And then on May 1st, within an hour and 25 minutes of the search, they found a body that was covered in brush on the bank of the creek, right behind where the farmhouse was. An area that would have been searched by law enforcement had they already searched it, like they said they had.
Oh, goodness.
So they're thinking that they actually didn't do a search at all.
That makes me so sad.
Yes. So according to the family, the police say that they're not sure whether Alonzo's body was in the creek before he was found or if it was moved there later, which I don't really get that, because from what I understand, when his body was found, it wasn't in the water.
Maybe it was bloated.
It was on the, no. Because his brother is the one that found him and said that it didn't look like he was even outside for a month.
Oh.
Like, his body was still in pretty good condition or whatever. And then it didn't look like he had been outside for a month or whatever. He had some stuff around his neck.
Which is what usually that was bugs will
decomposing eat. And yeah. stuff, yeah. And then there was a couple other spots as well, but other than that, like, his whole body looked like
weird.
Yeah. So they don't think that he was out there for the whole 30 days. Or if he was, he wasn't in the water.
Got it. Because he wasn't bloated.
Right. So the family used search dogs and wore orange vests when they were trudging through the woods and the fields looking for his body. Or looking for him. At that time, they weren't looking for his body. They were looking for him. I mean, they were pretty sure that he was no longer alive because it had been a month. But so an autopsy was conducted when they found his body, which is standard protocol.
Yeah.
When somebody's missing for a month and then they find their body or whatever. But they were not able to conclude how Alonzo had died. Foul play was suspected, but the original autopsy done by Dr. Eric Mitchell found no signs of that Alonzo had broken any bones. He didn't look like he was beat up. There was no water in his lungs, even though the police think that he drowned, which doesn't really...
Well, the police couldn't find him for a month, so...
Right.
I don't have any...
right, yeah, for
faith
real.
In anything that they say.
So no water was found in his lungs to indicate that he had drowned, and his throat was too far decayed to indicate whether he had been strangled or not. Dr. Mitchell was unable to determine the cause of death. The Brooks family believe it's highly unlikely that Alonzo wandered out to a relatively shallow creek, tripped and fell, only to be left undiscovered for a month, and that he had drowned in the lake, the creek, like the police believe. And if he had, why would his hat and shoes be in the front of the property, but his body discovered in the back? Like, that doesn't make any sense to them at all.
I mean, I could see, okay, say he took his hat off and his shoes off, and kept him at the house, and then was wandering in the back, because that's what people do, I don't know, and then tripped and fell, whatever. Someone found his shoes and hat and was like, wait, these aren't mine, and then threw them. I mean, well, in reality, no one would probably do that.
Well, I was thinking maybe, like, the person that rented the house or whatever threw them out when they went to go leave the next day or whatever.
Could be.
They found it, but then I was like, why would they care? They're renting the house. They would have just left them there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. They also believe someone who was at the party knows what really happened to him.
I would say that is a definite possibility.
Right. There, of course, is numerous theories that have been passed around as to how people think that he died. A few witnesses have said that Alonzo and a girl that was white were flirting with each other at the party, which made people very uncomfortable and pissed off because it was interracial.
Oh my God. Because
people are stupid. Some people, not all people.
Yes, some people.
Making some people believe that his death was a hate crime. The Brooks family says they pushed and pushed law enforcement for answers in the weeks after they discovered Alonzo's body. But even with all their begging, the KBI and the FBI had moved on to other cases, and Alonzo's suspicious death was ruled a cold case after only 1 month.
Wow.
1 month.
Wow.
This shit pisses me off. Anyways, so Billy Brooks, which is Alonzo's older brother, went up to KB headquarters in Ottawa and talked with an agent there. The agent said, "We don't have any more information. The FBI's picked it up. And we're basically off the case, so I can't help you." It just makes me so angry.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
Right? It just makes me so angry. So, Felicia Brooks, which I believe is a cousin, has said, if you get assigned a case, I would think that you need to get off your ass, go up there, and start questioning people. Because they didn't question anyone that was at the party either. And for it to be closed within a couple months, that they didn't even make... That it just didn't make any sense. She doesn't understand how it could be a cold case after a month if you didn't even talk to anyone. Well, it could be a cold case after a month because you didn't talk to anyone. Right.
Yeah.
So after the case was labeled cold, the family remained diligent in trying to apply pressure to law enforcement to reopen the case. Felicia said it was like shouting into a void at all times. Nobody would listen. Then, in 2017, everything changed. Angela Ramirez Cox, who runs the Facebook page Justice for Alonzo and coordinates all media interviews for the family, was contacted by someone with Unsolved Mysteries production team, which was reshooting the reboot of the series that would air on Netflix. The show was years away from hitting airwaves, but producers had slotted the Brooks case as one of the first episodes. Of course, Angela was cautious at first. She said, "If we do this, I don't want to get us going and then we don't hear from you." And that's exactly what happened.
Oh no.
We didn't hear anything for 2 years. Then in April 2019, interviews were scheduled, shoots set up, and before we knew it, Alonzo Brooks' episode was aired on Unsolved Mysteries. So I'm glad that they did it and
they followed through.
Yes, even though they didn't keep in contact with them, I'm glad they did follow through. The case eventually caught the attention of the top federal law enforcement agent in Kansas, U.S. Attorney Stephen McAllister. McAllister has said on June 11th, "His death certainly was suspicious, and someone, like multiple people, know what happened that night in April 2004. It is past time for the truth to come out. The code of silence must be broken." The Netflix episode premiered on July 1st at midnight of, I believe it was 2019.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So, Dr. Mitchell, who was the coroner that exhumed Alonzo's body, we found out that he was investigated for misconduct while he was the chief medical examiner in upstate New York before he moved to Kansas.
That doesn't surprise me.
So, an Associated Press article from 1993 states that Mitchell had engaged in misconduct, including harvesting organs without the family's permission, and improperly storing skeletons in his office.
No.
Yes.
And he's...
Yeah. So instead of being fired, Mitchell decided that he was going to resign? Transfer.
Yeah.
No, no. He transferred. He wasn't asked to resign. He didn't quit. He didn't get fired. He transferred to Kansas.
Jesus.
Yes, where he worked from 1996 to 2018.
Wow.
Don't you just love it?
Way to go, Kansas.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's not really their fault, though. I know,
it's not their fault. It's not their fault.
So, that's most of what I got from, like, just articles or whatever. So, there is some information that was not given out on Unsolved Mysteries. Daniel and Tyler, which were the two friends that left, that were in a separate car, said in the Netflix documentary that, Alonzo wasn't prone to let the sort of thing bother him when people were talking racist to him or whatever. That one of the friends, not Justin, but the one other friend that went to go look for the, to go look for him after they couldn't find him or whatever when he first disappeared.
Yeah.
I don't know what his first name is, but his last name is English. I think they tell you later on. But anyways, so English was supposed to be on the Unsolved Mysteries, but they didn't air anything that he had said.
Okay.
So they left all of his interviews out.
Okay.
So he says that absolutely not. If somebody calls Alonzo the N-word and he's ready to go, he's ready to fight. Alonzo was a beast. It would take a lot to put him down. But he's not staying there happy, partying, after someone disrespects him that way.
Which would be totally understandable.
Right? So he's like, that would not have happened. Like, them saying that he was fine and they left him there, like, he would not have been fine. So
that kind of sounds like they're trying to make it better for them.
Yes.
Saying that the excuse that they left early.
Yes. Well, there's more. So a lot of focus was kept on the friends, particularly his friend Justin, which was supposed to be his ride home, who left Brooks at the party despite having heard Rachel's slurs being thrown at Alonzo. English doesn't understand why anyone would leave one of their best friends in that kind of situation, which I don't understand either. Justin was one of the three friends that was interviewed along with Tyler and Daniel. And he was, I already said he's the one that was supposed to drive him home, which he had said was an hour away from where they live. Not only was there an omission concerning their day drinking, because they had been drinking before they even went to the party. But Justin, who was 18 at the time, was reportedly both high and drunk when he left Brooks at the party.
Well, no wonder he got lost.
And likely did not include this in the details that he gave the officers, because he had just enlisted in the Army and didn't want to risk his career with the DUI. Which, I mean, I can understand.
Kids make stupid decisions. I see that,
yes. Yes, they do. It also wasn't mentioned that Justin did not leave the party alone, but he had a friend with him.
Gosh.
In the interview, Justin says that he took a right when he should have turned left and ended up on gravel roads, lost, where his car ended up in a ditch. It took him 30 minutes to drag the car out. And by the time he got the car out, he didn't want to return to the party. So after the car incident, however, Sprague didn't return home, because he's saying he left and went home after he got the car out of the ditch. Mm-hmm. So he didn't go home. Instead, him and the friend left the party that left the party with him, headed to a gas station where a camera on an ATM saw them withdrawing $200. Then more cameras saw them at a strip club where they were later kicked out of. So both Alonzo's mom and English say that Justin's story was never the same throughout the years of the interviews with law enforcement. Maria said that Justin changed his story 6 times concerning the night of the party. The day after the party, English, Justin, and Brooks, or Alonzo's brother, Billy Jr., drove back to Lacine to search for Alonzo. On that day, Justin told them that his car had broken down. He didn't say anything about getting lost. He said his car had broke down and he had to fix it at the side of the road. It was something you couldn't even fix, like that by yourself in the dark, like a broken axle or something. English has said, Justin is full of shit.
Yeah.
So, I don't know about that. So, new information. On June 11th, 2020, the FBI reopened the cold case and issued a $100,000 reward for any information related to the Alonzo Brooks death. The FBI also re-exhumed Alonzo's body on July 22nd, 2020, in hopes that further study may provide clues and see if anything was overlooked from the first autopsy. Anyone with any information is encouraged to call the FBI at 816-512-8200 or 816-474-TIPS, tips, or submit a tip online at tips.fbi.gov. On November 16, 2020, FBI released new information regarding the cold case investigation of Alonzo Brooks. The FBI said it had spoke to people that had not been previously spoken to with, or who had not previously spoken to investigators that were at the party.
Oh my goodness.
And learned of a second party that was in Lacine the night that Brooks disappeared. Attendees left that party when a fight broke out and headed to the farmhouse where Alonzo was last seen.
Nice.
And that's all the information that they have.
Well, really quickly, anything that has made you smile? This week?
I'm thinking. You go first. Let me think.
I have been obsessed with True Crime Obsessed podcasts. They like to watch, they like to recap documentaries, true crime documentaries, sometimes not exactly true crime, but they, I listened to an episode called The Two Killings of Sam Cooke, and then the next day listened to the whole Greatest Hits album, because I love him, and I didn't know that he was murdered. So, there's that, and... which was sad, yet it was really nice to reconnect with his music.
So I don't really have anything like a happy or whatever. But I do want to say that we would love it if people that listen to us would pray for our cousin Isaac.
Yes.
Because he has a heart condition and will eventually have to have a heart transplant. He's just turned 21. He has a very, what do you call it, rare heart condition, and, he got taken from Portland to, San Diego, where his current doctors are, to try to get him healthy enough to be able to be put on the transplant list. So they're gonna reevaluate next week, and hopefully, fingers crossed, he's strong enough that he can go on the transplant list. So please pray that he gets strong enough to be able to go on the list and that he, I don't want anybody to die for him to get a heart, but I also want him to get a heart. So I don't know. Just pray for happy thoughts, I guess, and that he is healthy and happy.
And if you know anything about Alonzo Brooks's situation, and Kurt Sova's, please contact who we told you to contact.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Keep it real.
Bye.